The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They claim that our eyes will just be created a slightly different from what they are when we talk and see things that are.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Allison.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Have you noticed it's spring?
Feeling better?
Yeah, it's like Brigadoon. I just wake up, I'm like, oh, whatever happens from like October through. I mean, I'm only good for about half a year, basically.
Once again, we are lady hawking because this is the time of year when I start to get depressed and like the heat's coming and I guess I'll be inside for a long time because I can't stand the heat.
And I'm like, I need the sun or I will wither. Not that I need to sit out there like with one of those, you remember those like trifold aluminum things that the women would sit outside with when we were kids.
The skin cancerinator?
Yeah. And then they would like slather on extra oil to make themselves, not to prevent anything, but to make them tanner faster.
Yeah. On tonight's show, been a while since we had an on-site episode. This is sort of an accidental on-site episode. We didn't set out to do this.
You just wanted to take a walk?
Just wanted to take a hike.
Take a hike, Tim.
And Chad and I actually had plans to take a hike, and Chad fell asleep. And I thought my hiking options for this night were done. And then Octavian's like, hey, we're going out. Want to go with us? I was going, yeah, why not? Let's go. So we went to this place called Fishing Creek Preserve, and we had an interesting night. As with all on-site shows, I want to mention that the audio is variable. You know, I do my best to boost it and clean it up to make everybody audible.
Do you hold it the whole time or is it in your pocket?
Well, so it depends. If I have my backpack, I have a pouch that Chad got me that's strapped to the strap of the backpack.
Uh-huh.
So it can sit there.
Like a kangaroo.
And it's good. You know, it's just on and it's pretty secure. So, you know, but this night I didn't feel like taking my backpack. So I had it in my front shirt pocket.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of muffled a little bit
compared
to normal. Plus, I was using my old recorder because I haven't yet taken all the audio from Indiana off my newer recorder.
If I remember correctly, at the most exciting portion of this story, you're urinating?
Yeah.
Do we get to hear that? I think it's really what
everyone's
waiting.
Maybe if you listen really, really closely.
You'll hear your frothy stream.
I'm mostly saying no over top of it, though. So.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I do that, too.
This was sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy from last week's folklore and peeing conversation we had.
Is it?
Yeah. Remember how I said you're supposed to warn first and apologize after?
Oh, yeah.
I did not warn.
You really should warn.
Yeah.
Can we also adopt that policy in our own house? Everybody, just wanted to tell you.
Hey, I'd just like to warn everybody.
There's something afoot.
All right. let's go ahead and get to this on-site episode. It's with Octavian and Ian, both from Strange Dominions podcast. Ian, welcome to Strange Familiars.
Thank you, Tim. It's a pleasure to be here.
You've never been here before?
Only by myself, listening to the show, which is amazing.
Thank you.
It's an honor to be on.
Octavian?
Hello.
You're not welcome.
I know. I rolled out of a ditch right in your kitchen.
Leave.
me too.
Oh, boy. Well, here we are again. Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Early Sunday morning. We decided to go on a little night hike at Fishing Creek Preserve in Lancaster County. It's in Drewmore. I never know if it's Drewmore or Drewmore.
I think it's Drewmore sounds right to me.
I think it's Drewmore.
I think it's Drewmore.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect. You know, I've been out there before, and I always liked the place, and I always compared it to Toad Road. It's like the way it feels and the way the road runs next to the creek and everything.
And Ian and I had never been there before. I had never been there before.
Yeah, we were just trying to look for a place to do a night hike, and I thought, you know, I just didn't want to, like, mess with ticks and, like, get into brush and stuff. So, like, it's got a nice, wide place to walk, and, you know. It's ostensibly a road. I mean, you can drive on it, you know, but it's through the woods there.
All interesting events later. It was a beautiful spot.
Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous. And, you know, listeners, you know, when I talk about places you can absolutely go to this. This is a public place, Fishing Creek Nature Preserve. Check it out. It's beautiful with or without the other.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I go there in the heat of the summer when all other hiking is too hot for me and just hike through the middle of that creek.
Mm-hmm.
Just cool off and just walk right through the creek.
Yeah.
It's a good place.
I agree. I hike too a lot. Now it's getting the season, so it was good to find that place.
Oh, yeah.
And it was perfect temperature for this time of year and no bugs.
Yeah. Yeah, it turned into a very interesting night.
Yeah.
And, it's, you know, the way we were doing is basically an out-and-back hike. We're basically walking down this road. It crosses the creek a few times and walking back.
Mm-hmm.
Got our feet soaking wet crossing the creek. We thought it might be a little shallower where we crossed, but sorry about that.
It's okay. My boots.
We were wet up to our shins, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking about just us walking through that river. And I've just been thinking about it a lot since we got back from that. And maybe in the woo way, it just felt a little impactful.
Well, I mean, ever since Indiana, like, there was something about that when we were making tea from stuff in the landscape and literally imbibing the landscape. And I was like, I don't know if you need to do that to experience the other, but it certainly helped make you feel like one with the place. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing that with things I've gathered at Hex Hollow, making tea from there. And I definitely want to go back during the day and forge some stuff. Maybe I'll take John with me and he can show me everything that's edible out there and make some tea from stuff there and sort of be one. But that's the same sort of idea, like putting ourselves actually in the creek, you know, sort of becoming one with the landscape. It's very therapeutic talk on the way. We'll say out and back, right?
Yeah.
So on the way out, it was very therapeutic. I was like,
we were getting into some pretty deep and personal stuff.
Yeah, just having like dude talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it was just one of those moments where it's just like, let's just talk.
Yeah.
It was heart talk.
Yeah.
So it stayed with me too.
Like, it was good to like, just be like, have that moment when you just be like, man, I just want to share some stuff with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to talk and just share that stuff. So that might play into it too, right?
He even was saying the day after, like, with how open you were, he feels that, and I do too, that definitely contributed to the level of phenomena that we were encountering, like, shortly after we kind of went through all that.
Yeah.
You know, my thought was, and that kind of connects with the thought that was in my mind, it might be wrong, but when we walked through the stream and we were having a lot of open heart talk, that's kind of how it struck to me. It was very open heart talk, and both seemed very cleansing. The idea of purity of heart.
Oh, I like that.
And it stuck with me, and it's something that I kind of follow personally, too. And, you know, even in our esoteric side that me and Octavian engage in, that's in some of our interests. The idea of across cultures is that to really interact with the spirit world, to do magic or otherwise, there needs to be a certain level of purity and cleanliness. Not only body, but heart. Like the idea that your heart needs to be open. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain level of value in a confessional, whether it's intentional or kind of through when you're walking through a thing. And then when you're at the end of that, it's like you shed your garments of the regular world and then you are a little more open, whether mm-hmm. that's valid or not. That's just, it felt like that looking back and why we're doing it. And like the idea of washing your feet from passing on from one zone to another just struck me.
I like that.
So I don't know if you guys felt that at all, but
no, definitely.
No, it felt meaningful and it felt good. Like, first of all, if you ever want to get me talking, just get me in the woods and I'll start. Yes. That's because I start feeling good and I start feeling like, and I needed the walk. I hadn't taken a hike in a few days.
I did as well.
I needed to be out there. So that was good. And I had some stuff weighing on me and I was just, man, it's just having friends to talk to. It was good. It was really good. And that was like the way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't really share that, but in a very similar way, same, lately, and with the same result.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether or not that was the objective, or if that was a part of the objective experiences we had, part of me feels like it was.
And there's been a really strong effect from that night into today, honestly. And
it's interesting that you said, because for me, and I'll let you elaborate on that, but for me, I was talking about this on Discord a little bit. It's impossible for me to separate this from the Witch Diggers experience.
I'm sure. I think it's more natural.
Like, how are they really? I don't know, but it just feels connected mm-hmm. in that same sort of depth. You know?
Yeah. Well, I've been pretty open on my show, and I think I've mentioned it on Strange Familiars that I've always been into the paranormal, but I really came into magic and the occultism by way of this pretty grandiose psychedelic experience I had when I was 25. And mm-hmm. life after that trip really felt black and white. It, mm-hmm. like the vibrance of it kind of faded away. And I've had my good days and my bad days, but after that night, like today, it was like the clouds had lifted in a way that I haven't really experienced in 4 years.
Wow.
And I felt really good. I felt really connected. I was driving around for work and I was just like, wow, like I'm starting to feel like my old self again.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
No,
and it's interesting because I know that you were talking about like the paranormal blues.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I'm kind of feeling the opposite of that. I'm feeling like really invigorated by this experience.
I mean, I certainly could go either way, mm-hmm. right? You know, and I don't know how much of post-Indiana was paranormal blues, or if it was like coming home from an incredible experience and mm-hmm. just being like, oh, I'm back in the regular schedule right. again, you know? But yeah.
That can happen.
Yeah. Walk out, deep thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we did hear one sound. See, in my memory, like everything we heard was on the walk back, but we did hear this one sound on the way out. It's going to play three times. The interesting thing about that is it has an almost gear-shifting sound
in it.
And there were several sounds we were hearing all night. We're like, is that a car? Is that a motorcycle? And some of them were.
Well, yeah, I know it was interesting because I guess, I don't know, topography of where we were, but like planes going overhead before we actually saw them sounded really weird and not like a plane. We didn't realize it was a plane until shortly before they actually went over us.
Yeah, yeah. So when I played that sound, that one might be a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not entirely sure, but we didn't note it as a vehicle. We were like, what's that? That's weird. That's what we noted it as. Let me go ahead and play the clip that goes along with that.
Now, what is that?
Was that a frog or was that something else?
Just a test that it was what it was until you know what it was.
It was seemed longer than a frog.
Okay. Very low and long, drawn out.
Yeah.
Very low.
Yeah.
All right. The next thing that happened Ian found this structure. I don't know if I'd call it a structure. This X.
It's very pointed X.
Yes.
Look, I mean, perfect. There'll be an image of it in the show notes. I mean, right. It's like this perfect X on the bank.
If you want me to share kind of my introspection at the time that I remember.
Well, let me play the clip and then we'll come back to that.
Not staff ready. My Nevicon.
There you go. Yeah. With an X. So
I knew I was feeling something.
That's kind of neat.
I'm not from the movie, but I just want to let you know that I really want to. But I think he's on staff ready.
You get a photo of that.
Yeah. Perfect.
My question is, I've been up there.
Put the light on it?
Yeah.
Good. I've been up there at night.
Can you take a scroll? Some water.
Did something weird happen up there?
Nah, I just went up there with Chad when we were here. And that's interesting, that X is right there.
Yeah.
Had my eye pulled to that stick right now.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, go ahead. What were your thoughts on finding this?
I was just making notes to recollect earlier. And I remember that was, aside from the sound, that was really the first thing. And we just had a generally good, open, kind of like bro talk.
Right.
And it was just a great hike.
Yeah.
And I remember just out of the corner of my eye, I didn't even say, I think it was a feeling first. Like I had a feeling of like a walking stick. And out of the corner of my eye, I just see this long, you know, perfect walking stick shape. And I thought of some memories that, you know, I've done, spent a lot of time in the woods, and I do spiritual things in the woods. And in the past, I've kind of been hiking, and I've kind of said a little prayer before, or a connection request to like, I need a staff, mm-hmm. wizard stick. Mm-hmm. And each time I've done that, found one within 30 seconds, almost perfect. And I had that memory, and I looked at the stick and I was like, okay, this isn't a good stick. It's rotten. And then as soon as I looked over with the light, we all saw this X, and it was maybe 2 feet to the right. And it was a perfectly balanced mm-hmm. X of, you know, thick sticks. They were pretty straight right in the middle. And this is on an incline too. So it mm-hmm. wasn't flat on the ground. It was sitting at, you know, pretty solid angle. Mm-hmm. And it was right there.
Right. See, that makes me think back to that first clip I played, and that came after, you can hear it in that clip we just played, where one of us says, what was that? And then we heard that sound, this. So this is the only thing before the X, right? I already played it, but we'll hear it again. That makes me wonder, I don't know, it could have been whatever. But if any of these are vehicles, like part of me thinks like because everything else came after the X, maybe that one really was a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The X seemed to, after that, that's where things kicked off.
And I think I probably speak for all of us when I say, you know, there was certainly a heightened sense of something like electricity. As soon as we had that, it did nothing but grow.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, I mean, this may be kind of silly, but let me play this next clip, and this might, maybe this kicked it off, or maybe this added to it.
Look at that fairy door on that tree.
Yeah.
Okay. Right down the bottom.
Oh, yeah. That's a car, I'm pretty sure.
Motorcycle, maybe.
Yeah.
You shit your pants when a little gnome opens that door. Yeah. What do you want?
Oh, I tell him.
good conversation and safe passage.
So you knocked on the fairy door.
I did.
I called it a fairy door.
I recognize it as such.
And you knocked on it. Did that have any? I mean, that's silly, but it looked like a perfect door mm-hmm. in that tree. And you're like, knock, knock, knock.
Mm-hmm.
I admit it. I wasn't doing it in a totally joking way.
Right.
Well, I mean, it was an authentic, you know what? That's a fairy door. Let's knock on it and
mm-hmm.
yeah. say hello.
Did that have anything to do with it? I don't know. You know, I really don't know, but it looked like a perfect door. I don't know why we didn't take a photo of that.
Yeah, that was my
bad. I think
at
the time we weren't taking it super seriously.
We weren't.
Like I said, like authentically, but yeah, not that I was like, I know a fairy is going to walk out of here, but it was like, you know what? Legit, that's a fairy door.
Yeah,
why not do the thing?
I'm doing funny voices and stuff. Yeah, so we weren't entirely...
We were lighthearted pretty much this whole time.
Well, then we start hearing things across the creek. And I'm going to play this next section. And then I took a number of clips just from this section. At this point, we're sort of making our way back to the car. We'd walk a few feet. We'd stop and listen. Walk, you know, maybe a few more yards, stop and listen. So this is the first time we really start picking up and hearing things across the creek.
Something low across the creek. Bird. Low, like that. Chill here for a second.
Mm-hmm. It's like, didn't hear it, but there was that urge before.
I think.
Part of me wants to think so, but a part of me is not sure.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's definitely getting very slowly louder, though.
This is the first thing we heard. We actually were commenting that we kept hearing like gorilla sounds.
Yeah, basically. I mean,
that's pretty in your face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I can't think of anything else that lives in, you know, around here.
And it's deep. It's
like subterranean. That's what I was saying. I made a couple of Facebook posts about us being followed around by these subterranean groans and grunts.
Troglodyte sounds.
Yeah.
And I had a note there that's like, is it most representative? Question mark. I don't know if that one is. Because we have to listen to the rest of these, mm-hmm. and like, you kind of, you tell me. And I have to note again, there's so many sounds on these recordings. I was telling you guys before we started recording, I had to just pick the ones where we actually commented, where we actually said, "Did you hear that?" or "There it goes again," or whatever. Then I would find the one we were talking about, because there's so many sounds on there. I mean, I'd be all day and night pulling sounds out. They're all very similar to these. You know, it's nothing, like if it was something crazy, I would have pulled it out. Mm-hmm. It's very similar, like these kind of low, grunty things are all over that recording. This is the second one we heard and played again. That's low.
Yeah.
It is.
That is just, I mean, I don't think I can get that low.
No.
Like that's low. This here it is again. This is all from that same segment. We're just hearing stuff across the creek. Very similar to the previous one. Just
to
note,
that's not like a human voice near us, because the sounds, it would sound different. That is almost like a pit, like an echo pitch or something.
Yeah, I mean, this
in there, like it's so like.
It's at the bottom of your stomach.
A human can't make that sound.
No.
Yeah, like, and. Just for the listener, I've put noise reduction just to take the creek sounds down a little bit, because it's like the creek sound almost sounds like static. Mm-hmm. So just to bring these out a little bit. Other than that, I haven't done anything to these.
Yeah, because it was a pretty like calm night as far as like bugs.
I mean, I had to boost them because these were low. Like these weren't like, they weren't that, I mean, they were very apparent to us. You were mentioning like at one point, like our jaws literally dropped because we were looking at each other. But they weren't like super loud. You know what I mean? We were wondering, like, are these going to show up on the recorder? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. So I had to boost them a bunch. So I boosted them, put some noise reduction on them, but that's it. So what you're hearing, like, was what was there.
You know, I want to be transparent, and this is a thing, and I want to say it because I think this is part of the interesting part. Some of these sounds I didn't hear clearly, but there were times where when you heard them, I almost reacted, but I didn't hear them. And then some sounds I heard very clearly, maybe even louder than you guys. And I say that because, you know, part of the phenomena I think we're trying to pay attention to is that some people can hear certain things, mm-hmm. and some people can't, or, you know, or some people see a UFO. And then the person right next to them doesn't.
Right, sure. Happens all the time. Which is
interesting, because I heard the first two grunts clearly mm-hmm. as you're playing them to me, but I did not hear them clearly when I was right next to you two.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other sounds that you have and you're going to play, I think I might have been the one to point them out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That struck me as interesting, and I've been thinking a lot about it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been places too where someone has described something that we both heard and they're describing it different than me. Or mm-hmm. it happens more with like lights. I've definitely been places where people are describing lights and I'm like, okay, I see a light, but I don't see that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right.
Well, the theory that you had, like while we were there, honestly, I feel was very valuable about the idea that depending on how close you are to the phenomena itself, then it'll allow you to hear and sense more. And because me and Tim are so ingrained in the Bigfoot phenomena, we may have been able to have a heightened awareness of these certain sounds.
It's a theory. Like, I think I call it the Bigfoot current. And I know Michael Cleland from The Messengers, he calls it the owl current with his weird owl stories. And I think they're all, it's describing a very similar reality. And the idea that I had was like, you know, you two are very much in the Bigfoot current.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is, I think you mentioned in before that you have Bigfoot on the brain.
Oh, yeah.
No problem. And like, while I'm interested in Bigfoot, usually kind of more my obsessive focuses are in other, like the euphonauts or in certain, you know, magical practice or whatever. So to me, I'm familiar with it, but I'm also still new going on, you know, where you guys have years of it and you're kind of in tune. I feel like I'm just getting in tune.
Interesting.
And by the end of that night, the best way I could say it is that I felt more in tune. And I know to describe the situation, you kept hearing these grunts perpetually for a couple minutes, especially, and I think the loudest was the one you played second. And I couldn't, it was like I was hearing something, but I wasn't hearing it.
I think that's almost the way you described it.
Yeah, and it's like too. Where I was like almost my, I was reacting. And like, I think you guys saw me, like I pointed a few times. And like, yeah, you don't hear that? And I'm like, no. And I touched your shoulder and I touched Octavian's arm to kind of like get myself zone out a little bit to do it with the idea that, you know, and this comes from some of the studies that there are people who don't have a psychic mechanism or at least that on level, but being in the proximity of a psychic pulls them into that liminal bubble.
Very interesting.
And that was, I was like, that's a good time to maybe see if that works well.
Sure.
So yeah, but yeah, let's continue.
This is the last sound from that segment that I pulled out. Much longer. Much longer. The other ones, I want to mention, like, with the ones that were a little bit quicker. While we were there, perhaps three cars drove through while we were there. Does that sound right? About three?
Exactly three.
No one was parked. That was not a car door slamming. That was not a boom in the distance. That was what we were hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sounds like a hit or something. I mean, it doesn't to me. It sounds like a grunt or
yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, someone might think that's a car door slamming or something. It wasn't. There was no cars around us. There was no one else was parked there. We were in the middle of this creek valley by ourselves, except for those cars that drove through. At this point, we're still listening to sounds. We're making our way back towards the car. In this clip, Ian talks about, he says something about a shriek, like something's going to come up behind him and shriek or something. And as soon as he says that, not as soon as, but like right after he says that, there's this little like high pitch. I called it a shriek on the recording.
Yeah, I think I had said kind of lightheartedly, like, you know, I'd prefer it if you didn't come up behind me and shriek.
Yeah.
Like in the idea of a giant ape creature, because we've just been talking about, like, that happens.
Yeah.
Where you're surprised in the woods and the idea of, like, oh, you know, we're at peace. Let's have a peaceful encounter.
Ooh, did you hear that? Did you hear that little crack across?
Yeah.
It could be a deer or anything else, but...
It's like I'm hearing little sounds just under the wavelength of sounds.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Something gets going right away.
Whatever they are, they're very quiet.
But are you hearing it?
Wait.
I feel like I'm hearing, like, echoes of sound. I heard something grunt twice. From that direction.
See, that's what I thought I heard before.
Yeah.
Across the creek?
Yeah. I heard something...
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought I heard before.
Much slower than that.
I don't know, I'm pretty neutral on the creep factor aside from the normal, like, animal shock of something shrieking right behind you, but...
Yeah, I like this
the ones that
did
are
you,
like...
Did you hear that?
Describe it.
You said a shriek right behind you and it was kind of a shriek?
Didn't.
There was this little high-pitched, and it's really hard to hear in this clip. You have to listen through the static. It's there. I'm going to play it 3 times. I might play it 2 times in a row. I might play it 6 times. But you really have to kind of listen through the static for a quick, it's very quick, quick high pitch. Doesn't really come across as a shriek in this, but that's what I heard it at the time. It's maybe more of a whistling kind of sound in this, but it's there. Very quick. Timing was interesting. And that's the other thing. Timing on all of this stuff was very interesting because it was very responsive.
I mean, well, you know, the sound that we got when I, right after me saying, like, you know, we're here for you, that, and that's what had our jaws on the floor. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one that was exactly, but it was very long and it was very like...
I think it's coming up.
Yeah.
In this next clip, Ian begins whistling.
You're going to accidentally summon the albatross.
The air just changed.
I felt a temperature drop, if that's what you're saying.
It might have been it. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was a trick. I heard something over there, and at the same time I heard something back there.
At the very least, it's perhaps we were shifting a liminal degree.
You don't have to be shy, just make noise.
Please.
We heard you before, so just make noise. We want to hear you.
We're here for you. Thank you.
I'm not sure if it's in that clip or the previous one. You actually say you're going to summon an albatross.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that, yeah.
Which becomes very interesting for what comes later. This is the response. I think at some point we say, like, hey, we hear you, like, go ahead and make a sound. And we actually got a response, and this is what I pulled out.
Now that sounds so much more like roar and aggressive, and
some of that is it's a different kind of noise reduction because that was lower.
Yeah, it was very low, and it did not sound intense.
Lower in volume, rather.
Oh, okay, so. But like when we were there.
Yeah, no, we heard it. I think you and I looked at each other literally with our mouths open.
Yeah,
like it literally just responded to us.
Right.
Yeah.
But it didn't sound that aggressive when we were there.
No, it didn't. That's
nothing really.
Some
did.
Of that is an artifact of the noise
right.
reduction. You can tell I used a different kind of noise reduction on that than the other.
It almost sounds like a very low warbled.
Yeah, I think some of that is an artifact of the noise reduction. But you can, if you listen through the, hear the.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah. Here, I'll play it again. So.
Yeah, I hear it.
Yeah, that's kind of more representative of what we hear. Like,
mm-hmm.
Okay, this next clip again, we're continuing this whole walk backward. We walk a bit, we stop a bit and listen. Walk a bit, stop a bit and listen. The recorder was in my shirt pocket. And a lot of the walking, because it's bouncing around and just rubbing up against the fabric, when we're talking and walking, virtually useless as far as for a podcast, something to remember. I really need like a, I don't know if they make like a selfie stick or something to,
I'm sure
to
hold they
the
do.
Recorder or something like where it's out there. And also there's a lot of times like you were generally a little bit further away from us. So you're really quiet a lot of times. So like, you know, that would be useful to just sort of,
mm-hmm.
you know, hold it more towards the person.
And we'll talk about what he was doing when he wasn't necessarily right next to us.
I also admit that for most of the entire time we're out there, I forgot you were recording.
Oh, interesting.
So it was just kind of me in my zone at the time and just kind of being very natural. And it's interesting because I don't know if I would have acted differently if I had recalled that. Like, I guess somewhere I did. Must have. Because you had it in the very beginning and then I didn't think about it until...
Because I had my recorder, but the second I turned it on, I was at like very low battery. And I think it died within maybe a few feet of us leaving the car. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a chance to use my recorder.
In this clip coming up here, I will note, and we've been noting this on the podcast, because when it initially started happening, I thought it was cell phone interference, and that's it. And then some listeners started pointing out, hey, that interference tends to happen at really interesting times, to mm-hmm. pay attention to that. Then I started paying attention to it. I'm not entirely sure how I feel about it, because I can make this sound happen with my cell phone and the recorder. That said, we had no service down
there. No, none at all.
None. Like, I was trying to text my friend, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely dead, like airplane mode, mm-hmm. mode dead down there. This interference does come at an interesting time, so I left it in there so people can listen for that. Ian did some knocks. After the knock, we felt like something may or may not have been thrown at us. We don't know if it's like something you loosened up by hitting or something really got thrown at us.
No, it's too low and too quiet, but you heard it.
Oh, yeah.
It was an absolute response.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Like that?
Yeah.
We want to hang out here more. It's up to you guys. I'm good with whatever.
We can keep walking. I mean, whatever it is, we can follow it, anyway.
It sounds, seems like it. Yeah, it got real quiet, didn't it?
You heard that? The water sound got quiet. The creek sound. I mean, it's a little further off, but it did get quiet.
And you're right, Ian. There is a light that keeps changing down there. I thought a car was coming.
It keeps catching my periphery. Yeah.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. It's like babbling.
Yeah.
Let us hear you. Okay, that was a car, but the timing was essentially perfect.
Is it a car?
That wasn't a car, was it?
No, it wasn't. That is.
That is.
That was a direct response. Thank you.
I'm not fully convinced either, because it's... Yeah. If these sounds are coming from a presence, a thing, not just a presence, but something with form, there's got to be more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're here, here, and there. And it sounds like over the hill, too.
Mm-hmm.
Would we agree that this, for the most part, kicked off after we found, well, after Ian found the X?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I can't tell. That's a bike in the road.
If it is, it's covering the same territory again and again.
Yeah, it's like going in circles. There was a light in the trees that just came on and off really quick, and I've been staring at that area the whole time, and there's no star.
You got it. Did you hear your response? At a very low. Boom.
Yeah.
Just one. But it was right when you finished the three. Do it again.
There was a thump.
I missed that. I was.
You got a knock response again.
Something threw a pebble.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
That wasn't a piece of the thing breaking off.
I'm looking at the lights coming through the tree up there, but I thought I saw something pass through them. Just like a shadow pass between the trees, you know, or a silhouette. Nothing distinct, just enough to black out the light for a minute, or a second.
I'm seeing like a shadow move back and forth.
Yeah.
Or swearing that there's a shadow that's passing in between the trees.
I saw it on the other side and I heard something up on that hill. I thought I saw something new on the other ridge line that blocked that light.
Really? Maybe.
Not.
Yeah.
I still can't tell.
The end of that didn't sound very vehicle-y.
No, it didn't.
It sounds like a far-off, like, surrounds me like a moose call.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The other thing we were hearing, there's a good example of that in that clip. Let's talk about these not motorcycles.
Mm.
We kept hearing vehicles. And I think some of them maybe were vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one sound we'd hear, and we hear it again and again, and we go, oh, that's a vehicle. And then in the middle of it, we go, oh, that's not a vehicle.
Yeah, because
then we go, oh, no, that's a vehicle. And then at the end, we go, oh, that's definitely not a vehicle.
I'd say so we were really paying attention to what a vehicle should and would sound like.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely identified a few, especially early, mm-hmm. when we were towards the end. And by that time, we were used to the few vehicles we did hear because there weren't a lot.
No.
And then it was unmistakably, the sound kind of transformed.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because it would sound 100% like a vehicle. And then
it would trail off and then morph into like some kind of like a weird cry, growl.
It was almost like got louder, deeper, and closer
mm-hmm.
in a way, but not like it was coming towards us in the
right.
woods, but like it was like off under the hill or over the hill, but
so
not. It's there, weird to explain.
And it wasn't like full on Doppler effect where you hear it. You know, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing that's coming and going. But it did seem like it emanated from the same place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if this was a vehicle, we said this, I don't know if it's on the recording. I don't know if this made the recording. That's the bunny in the background. If it was a vehicle, like say it was a motorcycle, it was starting in the same place. It was going for roughly the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would reset and start in the same place again. Five times, however many times we heard it,
without the sound of it like looping back. It's not like you heard it loop back. So it's, you know, what, a whole series of motorcycles that all, they, you know, five guys gathered up on the top of a hill and they rode one at a time, rode their motorcycles down and turned them off.
Mm-hmm. Like, or it's one guy and he's driving it out and then
turning it off
and then walking it back. Or there's a portal and he's just continuously starting and stopping at the same point.
Yeah. The problem with this is there were vehicles, right? Mm-hmm. So there were vehicles, but this was weird. And it's one of those things where it's like, there's half... to ask the listeners to trust us that there was something about these.
There was. And my last comment, you were describing it like it had to be vehicles kind of going back and forth from a kind of point muffled by the acoustics, because it was a valley, sort of. To me, it almost sounded like it was rising in pitch and going back down.
Okay.
Like, that's how it was. It's like a wide sound that was getting higher and then lower, not moving. Does that distinction make sense?
Yeah.
I think I'm probably not describing it well.
Right. So
like,
it's not like the Doppler effect, like I was saying. It's just the rise and fall of the actual.
And I think we all, you know, kind of check for the Doppler effect, thought it might have been, but after a while, at least from my perspective, it didn't sound like that. And it definitely didn't kind of towards, because I think it came and went once or twice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it went off a few times. Almost every time we're talking over it because we're like, oh, that's a car. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, not a car. Wait, no, that's a car. No, that's definitely not a car. You know what I mean? Like, sort of,
yeah.
So this is the one clip. It's at the end of it. So when I play this, what we were hearing was like drawn out for a long time. I don't know how long. Many seconds. Like, long time. This is a clip towards the end of it where it changed, where we go, right before we go, oh, yeah, no, that definitely wasn't a vehicle. So this is like just the end of whatever we were hearing. But I did capture this, and people can maybe hear a little bit what we were talking about. I believe you called it a moose call, Ian.
It reminded me of that, a very big one.
Here we go. It doesn't sound like a motorcycle.
No.
I mean,
no.
Now it sounds like almost like a whale drone.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like at the end where we're, oh no, that definitely wasn't. Because it doesn't have the same kind of like buzz or whatever. I don't know. There's
a roughness to car sounds. It's that engine like.
Yeah, and motorcycles too like that. Yeah.
And yeah.
A small regular car would not have carried that level of sound. We would have heard maybe a down to a distant roads because, you know, for the listener's benefit, there really are not main roads around that area at all. There's maybe half a mile, three quarters, maybe a mile away are like very small farm roads.
Mm-hmm. And your listeners will know that I don't think there's a single area that you go to for your on-site investigations where you can't hear any cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's
cars were prevalent.
Maybe some places. No, even in Michaud.
Yeah.
You hear cars. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean.
So you know what a car sounds like on an investigation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's odd to talk about because this did have elements that were vehicle like.
Mm-hmm.
But then it changed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna play it again. I think it's pretty. The depth of that is pretty interesting.
Oof. The thought I had, I said moose sound. It reminded me of that, and I didn't really say it clearly. I didn't want to sound leading, but it reminded me of sound under the earth.
Yeah,
almost like a machine sound, not a gear, but like a just like take a giant metal beam and somehow bend it. Mm. You ever heard like metal bending?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
but deep and almost muffled, but that it's just a weird sound.
Yeah, and once again, we do not have moose here. We don't have elk here. I don't know of any deer, any buck that can get that low. I'd like to see them. If so, there were cows towards the one end of it.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't at that end right now, and it wasn't a cow. Trust us, it wasn't a cow. I don't know what that was. You know, I don't really know what any of these sounds are.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying we had a weird night and things were responding to things we were saying.
Directly.
Yeah. And these
seemingly
were
intelligently.
These were the sounds that were there. All right, let's go ahead and play this next clip. This is the walk, you know, sort of final walk back towards the car.
I'm getting a very faint wet dog feces smell.
Yeah, I'm getting a wet dog thing.
Unless we stepped in dog.
Yeah, I'm getting it. What?
That's what I was asking for. Hello there. Thank you for your class.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't either. Hi. Your voice. Perhaps one more. That's nothing. A little, could you throw one more? Appreciate it. Thank you. Let's keep walking.
Of course. You want to walk with us for a while?
Ooh.
Yeah.
He definitely walked with us. It's coming right along with us.
Or is it the right singing?
Music they like, I don't know. That's singing.
If you want to walk with us, you can, but we're not going to hold you up. It's your home. We're very thankful we could spend some time in it.
It's weird because this is one of the things. You were describing it as a whistle almost right away, right?
Yeah. Whistly.
And I was describing it as a cough right away.
Mm.
And for the sake of moving the story along and moving the podcast along, I cut a lot of this out because you get the idea, right? You get the idea with what's here. But this thing, whatever it was, and we'll just shorthand say fox, but we'll come back and talk about that a little bit too. It followed us along this creek for, my estimate is about 5 minutes. Does that sound right? Mm-hmm. It followed us a good long time.
At least.
Yeah. What you don't hear in this clip is a big crash in the woods, far bigger than any fox could possibly make. Mm-hmm. I could not pull that out. I listened for it. I couldn't pull it out of the recording. And the fact that, once again, it was kind of being responsive. It's like, hey, make that sound again. It would sound off again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more than that, because, hey, maybe a fox is going to fox, right? It's going to – is the way it followed us. It followed us for so long along this creek. Along this creek. I think you said at one point you were a little worried, like, is this like a rabid animal?
Yeah.
Because kind of, like,
yeah. Being with you, you've gotten me all freaked out about, you know,
yeah, I'm safe.
Raccoons and things like that. But, you know, that creek was not very deep and not
sure,
very
large. Sure, anything could have come
so.
Across that creek.
And the reason I called it a whistle is because out of everything we heard, that was the highest pitched sound.
Certainly, yeah. Except maybe that what I was calling the shriek. But
Or the whoops that we were kind of hearing.
Yeah. And I want to allow that it could be a fox, right?
Mm-hmm.
This could be a fox. Foxes cough. This is one of the many variety of sounds. It's funny, you hear it the first time it goes off, it scared the heck out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me go, what the? But because yes. It was audible. It was very audible for
extremely.
Us. It's like right there. Again, followed along with this. Most foxes, they don't really want to have anything to do with people. It definitely seemed like it heard us. Like, you know, we're talking to it and... I don't know. Let me go ahead and play it. See, when I played it back, I went, because when you were saying whistle when we were there, I was like, I don't hear that as a whistle. I hear that as a cough. When you play it back, that sounds like a whistle to
mm-hmm.
me. So, like, what was I hearing when we were there? I mean, it was that sound. I wasn't hearing something different, you know what I mean? But it was like, it really seemed like a cough to me. Like, sounded raspier, you know?
It definitely had a raspier tone to it. But I only said it was a whistle because, like I said, of all the things we were hearing, that was the most notably high-pitched sound in the forest.
And that's all over the... I just pulled one out because, like... Because
it sounded off, like, what? Like, six times? Oh, seven
more
times?
More than that. You can hear it.
And it was, yeah, to me, it's interesting because you're both kind of describing parts of what I heard. To me, it sounded kind of like a very kind of raspy, high-pitched, like, call.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I thought fox too, but it wasn't.
Yeah, that's the only way.
And then the confirmation, which you said didn't show up on the recording, which is unsurprising but unfortunate, was a very much a solid confirmation that it was not normal in my eyes.
You're talking about the crash.
Well, it was something that came, it called out from a specific area for about a minute. And when we moved, because we listened and we were not running away, but as soon as we turned to move, we walked a step or two, and then whatever was making that sound moved, and then several large branches broke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With either maybe if it walked through branches that were attached to a tree, but it sounded like something big and heavy just stepped on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was calling through the crash. That's which I couldn't pull out. And yeah, it sounded like it had to be something at least man-sized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was like, I can't imagine a fox making that much noise.
No.
And it was fairly singular.
Yeah.
Like a buck would have kept going.
Mm-hmm.
A big animal generally would have kept going. It wouldn't have made a sound from a localized point, turn and moved in the direction we were going. It was like in my mind, it almost sounded like it stumbled and crashed through and then.
Mm. Yeah.
Then we heard it. Well, we can get there.
It walked us back to the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were wet. We were cold.
That wasn't the end of the interesting evening.
No. Let's play this next part.
Okay.
Nope. No. No. No, no, no. Nope. No, 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 not having it. I am not having it. Fucking hell. A little face popped up right there. As I'm... A little fucking monkey face. I'm not kidding you.
I know you. Hello.
That's why I said no. I'm like not having it. Not that close. No. That was too close for comfort.
What are you guys hearing?
Nothing here, and I saw a little monkey face.
What?
I'm not kidding you.
I'd say tonight was pretty good success. Where?
I'm taking a leak here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing... either from those weeds or behind that tree, a little, like a little white face, like a monkey face, did that. That was way too close. That's why I kept saying no. I'm like,
not while I'm in this position.
Like, no. Dude. Smell that? Come here. It's that same smell.
Yeah.
I don't know where, I mean, well, it couldn't have gone anywhere. It was here and then it wasn't. That's all I can say. After about the third or fourth time I said no, it looked like it just turned its head and then was gone. No. Uh-uh. The f***ing hell. That was too close, man. It was little, I guess. Yeah. We're talking, what's which? I don't know. It was little. Wasn't big. Holy sh**.
Where was Ian?
He was over there peeing.
Oh,
okay. Man, my heart's pounding.
I'm sure.
That was weird. That was...
Yeah.
Dude, like, I want to say... Because I had my flashlight in my pocket.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
And your lights were on.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing down there.
No.
It's like it came... It's like it peeked out from behind the tree. That tree's not...
No, there's nothing good.
Like... But it's just this little freaking face just came out. It's like that.
Uh-huh.
And just looked up at me. I, like, locked eyes with it, and that's when I started saying no.
What color was that?
Black.
Oh, okay.
Like, dead black. And when I say white, I mean it was, like very, very pale tan.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, white, like, it wasn't, like, ghost white like my sweatshirt. Right. But like super pale tan. Like, the color of, like, if you strip the bark off of wood or something, yeah, like that.
Huh.
Holy... Wow! Right when I'm peeing too, I didn't.
Finish?
I didn't warn.
Oh.
Oh, I finished. Yeah, that's why I said no. I was about to stop. I didn't warn.
Oh.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for peeing. I should have warned you first, I guess. Although it didn't. It looked curious. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem angry.
Yeah.
It wasn't growling or anything. Holy moly! Oh man. This has been I thought we were just going for a walk, quite honestly.
Is it ever just a walk with you, Tim?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
But,
wow. Was her face, like, was her hair around it?
I couldn't tell. Like, I don't know if there was or if I was sort of placing it there because it looked so sort of monkey-like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
I think...
You saw like a nose and a mouth?
Because it didn't seem like a floating face. Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw the nose and the mouth. It seemed like a face that was definitely attached to a body. Like, that's the way it peeked around and looked. Hey. Sorry, my language,
but... No, you're fine. Oh, you're
wow.
Talking to the podcast.
Wow.
I thought you were just talking to Ian. I didn't realize you were by yourself.
No. Oh.
I was waiting for it to heat up.
So, yeah, I don't know if you could tell what happened in that series of events there. I went to relieve myself, and I didn't... I just talked about this on the show, about warning beforehand, and I didn't do it. I had to go real bad. And as I was relieving myself... Let's judge the distance here. Is that about 10 feet away?
Yeah. If that, I would almost say
eight, ten feet away, down a little bank heading towards the creek, from behind a tree, it looks like this little monkey face pops out.
And for reference, folks, I'm bigger than the tree, as in like width.
Yeah,
I'm thicker than the tree.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's a foot in diameter at the most.
Uh-huh.
That tree. And that's what I just started saying no. I felt very vulnerable, obviously.
Ian's talking something.
For what it's worth, I didn't get a horrifying feeling from it. I just didn't want it there.
Yeah.
Just,
probably over there.
Yeah. Nope. I mean, like, I'd love
but
it.
But as physical as it looked, you can agree that there was no way that was a physical thing.
There's no way it ran away. There's no way it hid somewhere else or crawled somewhere. It's impossible.
See, like, where the branches, like, the roots come out
on
either side?
Yeah.
Maybe.
What do you think you saw?
Nothing. Well.
What, did you just feel something?
You get a sense like you're almost looking at something? Light. Over there. Blink.
Last week on the show with Allison, I was talking about peeing in the woods folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And I said the folklore is you warn before you pee and you apologize afterwards.
Did you?
I did not. I did not warn before I pee.
You know, it's really funny. I was peeing when you were peeing and I totally 100% did.
Interesting.
And I didn't think about any lore. I just felt, I was like, you know, I think what I said, kind of like I mumbled it out loud. I was like, don't mind me. I was like, guess we all have to pee. Not for, like, I just said something like, you know, I'm just peeing. Here's a little respect. That's really funny you said that.
Yeah, I did. Like, I don't know why, because I
never heard of that.
Yeah, you're always very good.
I usually
do.
I didn't this time.
Mm-hmm.
I was to the right diagonal front of your car. That the bunny's just going to make noise. Sorry, people.
That's fine.
It's just like the way.
He's living his best life.
She. Don't misgender my
bunny. We just met. She's been in her own world.
It's recording three people at once just makes more sense to record it in the room the bunny's in, so it's going to be loud bunny. So enjoy the bunny sounds, people. She's tearing it up. In any case, I did not warn. You know, when you're peeing, you kind of feel like you're in a little bit of a fragile state there, you know? A little vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear me say no several times in that clip, the first time is out of disbelief, I think. Because I'm like, this is not happening. The rest of them are like, don't come any closer. No's, right? I wasn't particularly scared. I didn't want it to come any closer, for sure. It was 10 feet away. Sort of down a bank. I don't know whether this thing was, you know, quote unquote, blacker than black, and its hair or the rest of its body or whatever wasn't its face, blended in so well with the night that I didn't see it. But I only saw a face looking at me. I called it a monkey. It didn't look like any, like, New World monkey.
When you were saying it, I was like, the whole time we were there, I was envisioning like Curious George. That was like the image I had in my head.
Somewhere between a monkey and a man, the face I'd put it. I'm going to try to do, you know, obviously a sketch of it. It looked me in the eye. I mean, we locked eyes to the point where I'm really unsure about the nose. Like I'm saying, I think it had a hooded nose because I think it would have stood out if it didn't. Mm. Like if it didn't have a hooded nose, if it just had like the holes like some monkeys have, the nasal holes, I think that would have stood out. So I'm pretty sure it had a hooded nose. But I really didn't focus on that. I locked eyes with this thing, and we're just like staring at each other. It wasn't doing anything sinister. Maybe was curious. I don't know. I don't want to sort of put anything on it that I can't tell for sure.
Was there any kind, in any way whatsoever, kind of mind communication, psychic communication?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. It did not react to me saying no at all. Didn't care. Seems like didn't. What I was saying did seem like it didn't matter. It either turned its head and whatever blackness was its body, like I couldn't see its face anymore, or it ducked behind that tree. I can't, or it just disappeared. I can't. It was there and then it wasn't. That's all I can say. A flesh and blood person would say it ducked down and crawled away. I can't say that. I don't know what it did.
Hmm.
It was there and then it wasn't. It kind of like seemed like it maybe went back behind the tree. The tree is, what, 8-10 inches?
Mm-hmm.
No more than a foot wide. Couldn't hide much of anything behind that. I overestimated the size. I measured, like, I'm just,
you know, in the moment, I was like, I don't know, 3-4 feet tall, or I may have said 4 feet tall or something like that. But Allison, when I was telling her about it, she's like, well, hold your hand up on your leg, like how, like estimate. And then she measured, it was like 3 feet or less. So it was a very short thing, mm-hmm. very small thing. I hadn't thought of this either. I went up to hang with you the night after, two nights later, I forget. And you were like, how big was the head? And you held up your cat. And I was like, oh, it's about twice the size of it. So you have a, you know, basically average house yeah. cat mm-hmm. size. It was about twice the size of a cat head, like length.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know, Albatwitch?
Yeah.
I mean, don't know what else to call it.
I don't think that was an inaccurate theory, just given, like, you know, none of us could place that sound. It didn't sound like anything I'd ever heard before.
Puts this back into perspective.
Exactly.
It does.
As the Albatwitches are supposed to whistle.
And yeah, I mean, you've got a 3.5 foot, 4 foot tall, small, hairy humanoid. And you mentioned to me that night that, because I asked if it had eye shine or its color, and you said they were, you know, just black.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, well, I think your listeners have probably heard this described something similar before, but you definitely saw ape-like features, but maybe not like an actual, like, New World monkey.
Yeah, it did not look like that. You know, monkey is shorthand. The face wasn't white, but it was like pale, mm-hmm. you know? I wouldn't call it like, because I saw that, like, in Pandemonium, I saw that white, what I call a mask, like on the tree. And this was not like that. Like, that stood out in the moonlight. That was like, but this was like, definitely could see it. Again, I don't know if the physics make any sense with your headlights, and maybe, mm-hmm. you know, that was enough to, I don't know. It didn't seem like a floating face. It seemed like it was attached to a head and a body. Like,
you
that's
just didn't see the body.
That's the way it moved.
Did it have ears?
I did not see them. I just, if you can imagine sort of like that, cut out a face that would be right. surrounded by hair if it was, you know.
That's what I assumed when you described it.
Yeah.
I was like, you know.
But that's it. And then it was gone. And then I buttoned up and hopped down the bank and looked for anything there. Like I said, I wasn't particularly scared. I figured I could take it in a fight if I had to. Mm-hmm. I mean, that might be, I might regret that later on. But if this is a natural creature, I, you know, I got some size and weight on it. I figure, you know. Plus, you guys were there. I think the three of us could
mm-hmm.
kick the crap out of it. But anyway, I jumped right down there and look. I didn't see anything. Then you came out and went over and
we smelled the smell.
Yeah,
and that we had smelled that a few paces before on the trail.
Yeah, we mentioned it a while back.
And I genuinely don't believe that was the only visual that was seen that night. Yours was the clearest. But at one point, while Ian was doing, I think, the knocking or whatever he was doing, you and I were looking up the hill to our back.
Yeah, I forgot to note, that's in one of those clips. You can hear us doing that, but yeah, we should talk about that.
Well, I really feel like we were seeing a black mass that was basically rocking back and forth and obscuring and, you know.
It seemed like it was sort of moving between trees or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And then while we were hearing the whistle, I was trying to pay attention to that, but up on the ridge, I don't think it was an actual Bigfoot silhouette, but the way the tree and the branches were, if everyone on your show listens to Sasquatch Chronicles, if you can imagine the Sasquatch Chronicles logo
mm-hmm.
with the big silhouetted Bigfoot,
mm-hmm.
I felt like I was seeing that on, like, right on the ridge, just standing there staring at us while we were listening to the whistle. And I didn't really note it because I wasn't sure if it was just pareidolia with the trees,
I've had that sort of exact phenomena happen down at Muddy Creek. I've talked about that before.
Now, you saw the silhouette. Was it on the same side as the whistling paw?
Yes, it was. It was above that.
Because there were a few times we heard branches breaking on the ridge behind us.
Yeah, but above, like in front of us, where the whistling was happening, a little bit to its right,
I thought so. I just wanted to make sure that was...
But the other thing is, when we were seeing whatever moving between the trees on the other side, I actually tried to call you over. I was like, we need another opinion here. And mm-hmm. you were like in another world. You were like unreachable.
Interesting.
I was like, Ian, we need another opinion here.
And do you want to talk about what you were... Go ahead and tell us what you were doing while we were responding and interacting with the calls.
And, okay, so I didn't really mention it to either of you until later. I was doing some kind of, it's private, just spiritual techniques. Like, I'll preface to say the first part of the walk was kind of just a regular good walk, but especially after we saw that X, I kind of got in a mindful mode to connect with the forest and any potential entities there. And nothing like huge witchcraft, just kind of, I had the mind to open my heart and try to kind of communicate in a certain way I hadn't done in that way in a while. And of course, you know, we had the knocks and it was like, you know, I did a tree knock with the wood that we heard and all that. But at that time, when we were on the bend, and that's right before we heard the shrill call that was down, I want to say, because listeners might describe it as not praying by any means, but just kind of very low, using low words, just communicating with the forest. And whenever I had like an intuition or an impulse from a direction that we were looking at, because there were times where I think we were all just kind of getting feelings, and then almost immediately a sound would happen or something. And on that note, I was putting out, sounds wooey, but kind of a great intention to kind of just see if I could feel where it was and put that out. Cause I kind of usually run on the idea. I'm a little less of a flesh and blooder and more that there is a spiritual element to this.
And there's a flesh and blooder in this room?
The rabbit. But I started doing that a little bit, not serious. And I had left, and you didn't mention it, but before we heard the shrill whistle, when we heard that low droning sound and you heard the grunts, and I think right afterwards, I left a small amount of tobacco on the rock and gave it, dedicated it to, you know, the forest spirits, and kind of like, all right, let's, you know, here's a gift. I set a small dedication to it.
Hold on. Did you hear that?
I heard that.
What did he hear?
Like a whoop?
Yeah.
So, and that was given with intention, and I had the mindset of talk to it as a person, give it lots of respect, show it some love, we're in its home. And with that, I didn't get in a paranoid or fearful state, but the communication seemed to ramp up, and then we all were doing that. What I didn't had mentioned is, again, I do scrying sometimes, and I use it on my necklace. I don't do it often. I just wanted to experience what it was, but kind of asked a yes or no indication, like, hey, is this, how's the tobacco received? Is this a welcome thing? You know, did you enjoy it? Is that all right? And I got a yes. And I asked a few other questions, which were more designated on, it's my personal interest on what exactly type of entity might be here that we could be dealing with, whether it's just one other or subsets, like kind of, are you a forest spirit? Is that a good way to call you? Or are you people of the forest, like a spirit or something else? And then I asked, and I've never asked that, but I said, is this, would you describe it as the hairy men? Just something that, kind of my term for it,
right,
which I pulled from a grimoire called the Arbitel, but that's a different thing. We'll talk about that later maybe. And I got a yes, positive. And before that, I didn't really distinct. I kind of had this idea that, all right, what I would call like the woods people, or basically, as you call the Wildergeist, that there wasn't really a distinction between the hairy men and that, but I got a good one. And I was like, all right, that's pretty confirmative. And the last thing I asked on that scrying was to point in the direction where exactly it was when we were at that bend. And it did. And then you guys heard the last series of the grunts coming from that spot. And to mark that ahead, I was like, all right, we'll go with that. That seemed pretty validating. And the second time I did a more intentionalized, I think when I was maybe zoning, it was right before we heard the whistling call. Like, I went a couple feet away and I kind of got into a meditative focus, and I really put myself out there, like, come on, connect. And I articulated, like, come on, we just want to talk to you. And I was respectful and say, let us know, let us. And you heard that we were speaking about it, and we heard maybe a couple more stones, and put it out there. I used a pendulum one last time. Well, my necklace. And I said, okay, where are you now? So we'd kind of affirmed that it was following. And in the exact spot, not 5 seconds later, those whistling calls started. Ah. And that was, I was like, all right. And it was immediate. And I think you guys remember because I walked over to the edge of the woods and I was like right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were like, yeah, that's what I was waiting for or something like that.
And that was, so it was community. I didn't really mention it because I was like, all right, I don't know if that's going to add anything to this discussion. It's more about we are interacting right now. But to me, it was valid and he brought it up, so I'd share it.
So just the few moments before when Octavian asked me if I heard that, we locked eyes. There was just like a whoop from, I guess, outside.
Yeah.
At the mention of
tobacco. While we were like talking about this stuff.
Yeah, while you were talking, we just heard a whoop.
Yeah.
One real quick one.
A little weird. I'll see if I can pull that out. If I can, yeah. I'll tag it at the end. Asked me if I felt that whatever I saw had followed us back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, short answer, I don't know, but yes. That, if I feel that, like, am I feeling that? Yeah. I felt that whatever that was walked us back to the car.
Mm-hmm.
I peed. Maybe I did the wrong thing by not warning.
Mm-hmm. You were like a little shook but excited.
Yeah, it was not. Yeah, it wasn't like the whole night was that way. Yeah.
It was.
It wasn't scary. It was like exciting, right. and like good, and like it just, it didn't have that like oppressively fearful thing
not
that
at
you
all.
Can get sometimes, but it was just like, oh, this is really cool. This is really cool.
I was talking about kind of feeling electrified. It was like we were alert and maybe expecting in a weird way. Like there was that sense of exciting and liminal that built, especially from that X.
Yeah. Well, what I felt, I've felt this before, and I think as a musician, you can speak to this, that when, like, especially with your jamming with someone and you hit that point where you're both in sync and you're, you know, playing off of each other and you get that, it's a very physical feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that connection. Once the grunts really started, I started to feel that way, that very similar perfectly locked in to one another and the phenomena at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really like special feeling for me.
Another interesting thing to note, you would mark the time.
Oh yeah. We were only there for maybe a little bit over an hour. We got there around 11:55 and we left at 1:13. That's when we got back to
the car. Got there at 11:55.
Yeah.
Our walk would have started at midnight.
Yeah.
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 Very interesting. Walk started at midnight. Got back.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever time it was. I forget, 1:30
or 1:13.
1:13.
Yeah. Okay.
Was that, we were, it was just an interesting, I could describe the night as connective.
Yeah.
I felt.
Really, really neat. It makes me very happy that you said you have.
Yeah. And like, you know, I've done a little bit of scrying on my own the last few days, I think yesterday, the day before, about this night. And I got some pretty interesting responses. All my stuff is dedicated to Hecate, who my listeners all know, and I'm sure some of your listeners have heard me talk about it. And so a lot of times, you know, you can either go the psychological route with the pendulum or you can go the spiritual route. I go the spiritual route. And I was asking just, you know, were we interacting with spirits? And I got a sort of slight yes. And then I asked, were they entirely, like, just purely spirit? And I got a big no.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. Do you want to maybe get into more of that aspect of it on Strange Dominions?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, why don't we do that then?
Okay.
And we'll continue there.
Okay.
All right. Ian, thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for coming on the show and thanks for accompanying us that night.
Absolutely. Hope we can get some more adventures in soon.
Amazing night.
Yes.
Octavian, thank you.
My pleasure.
Strange Dominions is at
StrangeDominionsPodcast.com, Instagram, Facebook, technically TikTok, and technically Twitter now, but mainly just Facebook and Instagram.
All right. I'll put links in the show notes.
Thank you.
Strange Familiars is brought to you by our patrons, because we could not make Strange Familiars without our patrons. Thank you so much, patrons. Thank you for all your help. Thank you for everything you do. If you'd like to help us out and get more content besides, you can become a patron at Patreon.
It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. All of our patrons get commercial-free versions of the weekly shows, plus extra content. We do at least one full episode for our patrons every month. Sometimes we do more. Once again, that's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. If you are an Apple Podcast subscriber, there's a program there called Patron of the Strange. You can sign up there and get the weekly commercial-free episodes as well as the bonus episodes monthly. And once again, I'd like to thank all of our patrons, no matter where they're signed up. All right, before we get into the curiosity of the week, which is, I almost want to keep it.
I know.
It's that cool. You really brought it. I was giving you guff last week for slacking off.
And then I specifically saw it and I was like, if I get this, this is going to be the next.
You brought the goods this week. Well, before we talk about that, I want to mention that Chad will be at Nessmuk's Spring Festival in Morris, Pennsylvania, this Saturday, April 20th. It's a woodsman-y event. He'll be there. I think he'll be there selling axes and wool and, you know, the stuff that's...
Is it like a mandatory buffalo plaid kind of event? Or can you just roll in?
I imagine there's going to be a lot of buffalo plaid there. But also they would be very happy if you showed up in a mini skirt.
Maybe not me specifically, but...
I think if any woman shows up, they're going to be happy. Mm. But then in a mini skirt, they'd be happier yet.
I'm imagining some sort of like... buffalo plaid thigh high combination. Cursed image.
So again, that's Nessmuk Spring Festival this Saturday, April 20th, Morris, Pennsylvania. Chad will be there. He invited me, but I would have had to get up at like 5 a.m. or something. I refuse to believe there is a 5 a.m.
There's a 5 p.m. As my boss says, no single digit AM numbers.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get into this awesome curiosity of the week.
Yeah. I also got you something else cool this week. I brought home two cool things. I'm like...
I'm drawing a blank. What was the other thing?
The sort of the folk cures thing I got.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I forgot. I put it up on Instagram and everything. Yeah. I forgot about it. Yeah, Allison got this amazing like diary from the 1930s of all these local folk cures and stuff. And it's really cool. Like just handwritten. I cross-referenced like some with a long-lost friend, like the Stop Bleeding and... one of the other ones, I forget, and it's different from the Long Lost Friend, so it's really, really cool.
Basically, from what I read, vinegar cures everything.
Hey,
it's what you put on your pot pie, it's what you put on your Brickish fries, and it cures rabies,
can
too.
Can we make something to put vinegar on soon?
Yes.
I like vinegar. Yeah, that was an awesome find. That's like a folkloric treasure is what you found in that, and it's like really cool. And the person's like vaguely related to you, right?
Yeah, it's like somebody was related to my cousin's kid's family. Yeah.
So what is this again? It's called what?
It's called a Buzza motto. It's Buzza was the company.
Okay.
And it was a guy who started a company like in the early 1900s. And then he kept having to kind of pivot when things weren't working out. He did greeting cards and everything. And then these became really popular in the 20s and 30s. These like small art deco things. A lot of times they're for like mothers, sisters, or friends. They're sort of ornamental things that you can give, you know, as a gift. But this one is like, I have a cool one for sale now that has peacocks on it that I wanted to, you know, like I kind of wanted to keep it, but I decided to sell it. But this one has like this guy sitting on top of a mushroom.
Yeah, this is a little gnomey guy sitting on a mushroom. It's amazing. Like, I love this. It's with the gold printing and everything.
Yeah, it's like from that time when the printing was fantastic, too. Yeah, that's the other thing I like about these. And they always come in these adorable little Art Deco frames. And
he's got an umbrella. It's raining. It's
about the weather, right? It's
Yeah,
but he's just sitting on top of this, like, crazy psychedelic mushroom and wearing these little pointy shoes and little hat and wings, like little fairy wings, right? He's a fairy. Yeah. It's like a fairy guy. Isn't it?
I guess those are wings, yeah. Yeah, I think he's a little gnomey fairy guy. He's awesome.
Yeah, a little fey creature sitting on top of a...
Whatever the weather may be, says he, whatever the weather may be, it's the songs ye sing and the smiles ye wear that's a-makin' the sunshine everywhere. From the writings of James Whitcomb Riley. So this has got a date on it of 1925. So we know exactly when it's from.
And it's and this is original too, because I've seen they have these little hooks like this, and that's how they were hung. So this is entirely original.
All right. That is a super cool curiosity of the week. On point, on brand. I even mentioned a gnome in this episode. Mm-hmm. Not that I saw a gnome, but...
Hey, there's always next week.
I mean, I don't know what I saw. Maybe it was a gnome. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I saw. But yeah, totally on brand. I'm proud of you. You did it.
It was so many weeks I was lacking.
You brought your A game to the curiosity of the week. I will take a photograph of that. I'll put it in the show notes. If you click on that, it'll take you to our Etsy shop where you can purchase that and other curiosities of the week, those that are left. Also at Etsy, artwork, original Zen prints, including the original art for this episode. I drew to the best of my ability what I saw that night. That'll be in there. You can purchase the original. There's other originals there. There's prints there. Copies of my books are there. If you get them from Etsy, they come signed. You don't even have to ask. We've got Strange Familiars t-shirts, stickers, patches, mugs. Check out our Etsy shop. The shop name is Lost Grave. But if you type in Strange Familiars, you should see our stuff come up. And that's it, I guess. That's it for... you know what I wanted to mention before we go?
Mm-hmm.
So this, we'll call it an Albatwitch sighting shorthand. I guess it's the best, I don't know, but I don't...
It's an unidentified little person.
Yeah, I don't...
An ulp.
I hesitate to...
Coining that.
It's good.
It's an ulp.
I hesitate to call it that just because I don't know what, like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? And I kind of felt bad because the sighting spread around really quick as an Albatwitch sighting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that's the best name for it. It was a little, it kind of looked monkey-ish, you know, kind of. But in any case, Rick Fisher, I think, was the first person to sort of spread it around. Like, he kept my name off of it. I wouldn't have cared if he did or not. Obviously, I'm talking about it now. But he went out there the next day to look around and down the creek a little bit. And he said he doesn't think it's anything. He said but it's still interesting. And he sent me photographs of it. He found little bear footprints. Now, he thinks it's where a kid took off their shoes and was in the mud. But still, it's pretty interesting.
Oh, that's cute.
Just little bear footprints were like right down the creek from my sighting. Pretty interesting.
I guess the thing is, like, anybody who doesn't know what they saw would probably end up with that. I mean, isn't that how it kind of arrived, right? People saw things they didn't understand.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, yeah.
If you see something weird and little in this part of Pennsylvania, you just throw that name on it, right?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Yeah. What else would it be?
Makes sense.
Was it their subcategory?
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Collar Arts. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more or purchase music, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. We're on Instagram, at Strange Familiars, one word, no underscore. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/Strange Familiars. We have the Strange Familiars gathering group there you can join. For Strange Familiars merch, strangefamiliars.com/merch. And we're always at strangefamiliars.com.
Murder of crows hangs on that tree to sing the death of a dream to me. Who is listening?
The dead and cry.
Where shall I find? From stars, ring the bell and spread the cards. Shall I find
beneath the shroud? Tell me who to sing to Tim.
I am singing into the wind. Who is listening?
Sticks and bones.
Where shall I find?
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.